You ever notice how difficult it can be to see the miracle when you're in the middle of things? When you're in the middle of a storm, in the middle of chaos, it's really difficult to see, okay, God, where are you at work in the middle of all this, to try to make sense of this? Well, we've been doing a message series here at Crossroads Church called Miracle in the Middle, trying to encourage us to look for the ways that Jesus is with us, the ways that Jesus comes to us in the middle of our storm. And our key story throughout this series has been that story of just after Jesus had fed the 5,000, the disciples were there to watch that. He instructs his disciples to get in the boat, to row across the lake, and to meet him on the other side. Well, of course, we all know the story. When they're in the middle of the lake, a storm comes, and the disciples are terrified. Have you ever felt like that in a moment? Where you felt like maybe God had abandoned you, or had been forgotten by God, and you're rowing as hard as you can, and you're wondering if you're ever going to get to the other shore? Well, every story, every journey has three parts to it, right? A beginning, a middle, and an end. And those beginning moments are those moments where we're really excited. It seems like we can hear God speaking very clearly to us. Maybe God's voice is nice and loud and clear. And we're like, okay, yes, this is the direction I'm supposed to go. The beginnings are exciting because they're filled with endless possibilities, right? You have a newborn child and you have all these hopes and dreams, and it's not till later that they grow up and try all your patience and test you, right? So the beginning is the sweet moment where you can enjoy that time. The beginnings are exciting. The ends are also another time that can be exciting, because often it's at the end where we stop and we reflect and we think about all that has happened and we celebrate all the progress that has been made along the way. But the middle is where we get lost. The middle is where the storm comes and our faith is tested and we wonder, will we ever make it to the other side? The middle is where we can feel like we are alone or abandoned in the midst of that. We all are in the middle of something, right? Maybe you are in the middle of trying to figure out how in the world do I become a good parent? Maybe like or unlike your own parents that you had growing up, right? You don't have to answer that question. Some of you are sitting next to your parents, all right? You want to have a good Easter moment. But you know what I mean, right? Sometimes we're in the middle of parenting and trying to figure out how do we raise these kids without losing all our hair. Sometimes we find ourselves in the middle of relationships. Maybe the beginning of a relationship, maybe a romantic relationship. Maybe we're trying to figure out the middle of family relationships later on this afternoon when the in-laws come over or when you go to the in-laws. Sometimes those relationships are a little bit messy. We find ourselves in the middle of a separation or a divorce or a brother or sister that we haven't spoken to for years. Maybe you're here today and you find yourself literally that sandwich generation. That generation that is caring for their adult children and still trying to figure out how to raise them, and yet caring for your ailing parents as well. Maybe you're here today and you're in the middle of some sort of struggle at work. You can't stand your boss. Every time the phone rings or you check your email, you're just dreading what's going to come next. Some of you are self-employed and you still can't stand your boss, right? And you have those struggles at work with coworkers. Maybe we're here in the middle of a faith journey where we've had some questions, where we've wrestled with God. Maybe it's been a while since we've been in church. Maybe we're coming back to church, or maybe we've been going to church all along, but we're longing for something more. There's something in our soul that cries out, that wants to know and experience God more. And I think every one of us today can say that we're in the middle of a church plant, all right? You are sitting here in the middle of a church plant, and some of you remember what it was like in the very beginning. We launched our weekly worship 2 years ago this Easter, so we can celebrate that, right?
Right.
We've been doing steady for 2 years. Nobody's killed anyone yet, at least that I know of, right? There might be some conspiracies out there, but no, it's... nothing's happened. We're in the middle of a church plant. And in that very beginning, it was exciting, right? Some of you go all the way back to when it was just a dream and we were a small group meeting in our living room praying about one day starting a worship service here in Elkin Market. Some of you have been with us from the beginning as of 2 years ago and we launched and you were here for that public launch and you remember this room being full of people like it is today and we got this wonderful service and we were trying to figure out like mad how to run everything and how not to have the sound system crash. Everything was new. We had new equipment. We had new people. New things seemed to be happening all the time and it energized us. You might remember what it was like when you came and you felt that call of, yeah, this is something that I want to be a part of. This is something I can contribute my time, my gifts, my talents. This is something that I'm going to pray for because I believe in the work that God is doing and that God wants to do in this Elkhorn Market community. One day there will be kind of an end to our story, or a moment where we'll pause and we'll reflect back, right? Not because the church has died, but hopefully because the church is growing and we're excited and we see like over 300 people that might be engaged in weekly worship and children's and youth programming. And we'll envision someday having a community center, a multi-purpose community center that is seen as an asset to this community, where people can gather for worship, where people can grow in their faith, where people will see a church that's engaged and brings a meaningful difference to this community. Someday we will see our small group ministry multiply, not just throughout our own community, but in other communities around us. But in the middle is where we grow tired, isn't it? The middle is where we can feel like we are straining at the oars, and sometimes we wonder if we're the only one in the boat, right? And we're wondering, Jesus, I thought you were here somewhere, but I think I've lost track of you because I feel like I'm all alone and the waves come crashing in. The middle is where we can experience conflict, right? And we have tension. We have great passions and ideas and a vision for this church. And sometimes we can step on each other's toes in the middle, right? The middle is where we can lose, where we can feel like we've gotten lost along the way if we're not careful. Where we can feel like we're in the middle of nowhere. And we can lose sight of Jesus if we're not attentive. So how can we not lose sight of Jesus? How can we stay focused and remember the calling that God has given us? By paying attention to the ways that Jesus is at work. By paying attention to Jesus' presence in our midst. And so where have we seen Jesus lately? Actually, I want to just encourage you to take a moment and think about that. Where is it that you have seen Jesus at work? Now, I cheated. I knew I was going to ask that question, so I had some time to think about that, right? I see Jesus at work in this community through New Life. And I was just thinking about last week we had somebody come up to us and talk about doing a baptism. And nothing gets me more excited than having that chance to proclaim the gospel message and to hear people share their faith stories. And I was thinking about that. Just in the 2 years that we've been here, we've seen 4 immersion baptisms. That's not something that's real common in Methodist churches, right? We've seen numerous children and infant baptisms. We've seen New Life in those who are opening up, who are sharing deeply of their own lives, their own experiences, and growing in their faith. We see New Life in those who are reaching new people, who maybe have been away from God for a while and are growing deeper in their faith. We see new callings, people who are excited to step up, to share their gifts, their talents, who catch a vision of what God is doing and say, I want to be a part of that. And they're not afraid to listen to those subtle promptings of their heart that prompts them to say, you know what, pick up the phone and give someone a call. Offer to pray for this person. I see it in new callings and people who, I love this phrase, this idea of it, hearing numerous stories and people calling and texting and sharing stories about how they are missionaries at work. It's not a term that they would use, but as they're sharing their stories, I'm like, you know what, you're being a missionary at work. You're paying attention to those things that God lays on your heart. You're reaching out. You're praying for somebody. You're trying to encourage someone through a difficult time. You're picking up the phone and calling someone when you think they might be struggling. And we see it in those simple, small ways, those reminders that Jesus is with us, that gentle assurance that encourages our hearts and helps us push through those challenges to grow deeper in our faith. You see, those middle moments have a purpose. The storms that we encounter in life aren't simply meant to be weathered. We don't just get through them, but they're meant to be points of acceleration, of growth in our faith. When we can find meaning in our middle, then we have that opportunity to share that meaning, to encourage others, and to bring meaning to other people's stories as well. And so we need to keep our eyes open, to watch and pay attention. And not to give in, not to allow those circumstances, the pressure, or even boredom sometimes. Let's be honest, sometimes the middle can be boring. To cause us to miss the potential, the ways that God is at work all around us and within us. So it's not always easy to see the miracle in the middle. But if we look closely, we will discover a Jesus who is ready to reveal himself to us in a new way. Just like Jesus did for the disciples when he walked on the water and went out to them in the middle of the sea. A Jesus who has the power and the ability to help us break free from addiction, to break free from a life of sin. A Jesus who has the ability to heal and restore broken relationships. A Jesus who has the ability to heal and relieve physical pain. A Jesus who has come so that we can discover and experience new life. Because the greatest miracle in the middle is the Jesus that it reveals to us. The Easter story encourages us to pay attention, to stay alert, and to discover the greatest miracle waiting for us in those middle moments. That is Jesus. That Jesus is ready to reveal himself in a way we never could imagine. So if you're following along in your message notes in your bulletin today, it's pretty simple. The first one is simply this: to pay attention to the story that God is writing. Pay attention to the story that God is writing in your middle. Have you ever thought about how your story, how your life is a part of a larger story? A larger story that God has been telling since the very beginning. God's story begins in the Garden of Eden, right? In the very beginning when he creates Adam and Eve. And it's a story, it's a love story that continues throughout. Of a God who longs to be in relationship with his creation. But time and time again, humanity turns their back on God and follows their own path. This story comes to a climax in the garden on the Mount of Olives, where Jesus cries out in anguish and in prayer over what is about to come before being arrested. Following his arrest, he's put on trial, he's beaten, he's crucified, and he's placed in another garden where there is an empty tomb waiting for him, and it's sealed. I've been thinking about how confusing all these events must have been to the disciples, to Jesus' followers. Here they were in the middle of their journey. They're following Jesus. They were excited to be a part of ushering God's kingdom when suddenly their leader is arrested, crucified, and killed. What on earth could God possibly be doing? They weren't ready for this moment. They felt like they probably had years of training yet to do. I mean, they're still fighting amongst themselves. And despite his best efforts, the disciples just simply were not ready. Even though Jesus had tried to prepare them, no one expected the story to end that way. Not even the disciples could see it coming. Judas, and so each of them falls away in their own way. Judas, the one who betrayed Jesus, ends up hating himself. Peter, the one who was the rock on which Christ would build the church, the one who would never fail him, never leave him, ends up denying Jesus three times and crumbles. The other disciples, while they couldn't even stay awake when Jesus asked them to pray for him. After Jesus was crucified, they thought it was over, and so each of them kind of ends up going their own separate way. But the story doesn't end in this garden tomb. And it's here where we pick up the story. Mark's account of the Easter story begins with the women discovering the empty tomb. At first, they were trembling and bewildered, and so they fled the tomb because they were afraid. They didn't say anything. They had forgotten that Jesus told them that this would happen, to not worry because he would return in 3 days. Mary Magdalene was the first person that Jesus appeared to. But when she went to tell the others what had happened, they paid no attention to her because they did not consider her testimony valid. Then Jesus appears to two others on the road to Emmaus. In other words, they were heading the wrong direction. If Jesus told them to stay in Jerusalem, they were leaving Jerusalem. And so Jesus walks with them, and they fail to see it because they're not paying attention. They're too caught up in their own grief and their struggles. Confused and scared, many of Jesus' followers end up leaving him. Others were grieved and paralyzed by fear. They thought they would never see him again. Not everyone had their eyes open, watching and waiting for Jesus to return, for his word to be fulfilled. And even his closest followers didn't recognize him until Jesus had moved on. And I wonder how many times I have missed the miracle in the middle simply because I wasn't paying attention, simply because I was caught up in my own issues. You see, the middle is where we need to watch closely and pay attention for the ways that Jesus is with us, even when we may not recognize it. If we don't want to miss the miracle in the middle, Not only must we pay attention to the story that God is writing in our lives, but we must also stay alert to the ways Jesus is with us. That's the second point in the message notes today. To stay alert to the ways that Jesus is with us. Now, let me ask a question. We can be honest here, right? We're amongst friends and family. Anybody here procrastinate? Anybody here sitting next to somebody that procrastinates? All right, a few more hands with that one. Okay. How many of you waited until this month to start working on your taxes? Nobody wants to be honest, or am I all alone? All right, see, my father-in-law, I'm in good company, okay? My father, how many of you have waited until today or this week to start working on your taxes? All right, you probably know some people that are going to go home today instead of enjoying Easter dinner. They're going to start filling out their taxes because we get an Easter weekend, an extra day or two, right, to fill out our taxes. Do you ever wonder why we do that? Why do we put things off until it's the absolute last minute? It's because we need deadlines. We need some sort of pressure that just makes us uncomfortable enough that we better get our butts in action and go ahead and complete the task and achieve our goals. Deadlines can be a powerful tool to help us move forward through our middle moments and to achieve those goals that God has called for us. When the disciples got in the boat, Charlotte Gamble writes in her book, The Miracle in the Middle, she says they had a deadline, a place where they were expected to arrive. They didn't have weeks to make their journey. They had hours. There was no time for them to stop and visit other shores along the way. Jesus was going to be meeting them, and he was the kind of date that you do not want to stand up. And yet, if you think about it, there are times in our life when that's exactly what we do, isn't it? Where we have not shown up where we were supposed to, when we were supposed to. When God said go, we said what? No. I think I'll stay put. I'm comfortable right here. When God said change, we remained the same. We stood up a date with our future because we just weren't quite ready to put the work in required for that part of our journey. Deadlines are a calling card to our future, and often the thing that adds just enough pressure, just enough discomfort that we'll finally accomplish that task. Paying attention to those deadlines is what helps us achieve our goals. Ignoring the deadline doesn't make the IRS go away. It doesn't make our problems disappear. It only puts off and delays that lesson that we need to learn. And so Jesus gives the disciples a deadline for the resurrection. He says, don't worry, this is going to happen. I must suffer and die, but I will be back on the third day. We cannot take our eyes off of the goal, or we are going to miss the point. We might forget the purpose of our persistence, or we might quit prematurely while we're still somewhere lost in the middle. When we take our eyes off our goal, we end up missing Christ's presence with us. So some airlines have made the news recently this week. And it got me kind of thinking about the purpose of airlines and what we expect when we fly. And I was wondering how many times Jesus is with us, but we miss his presence because we approach our relationship with God as if we've chartered a private jet. Right? As if God is going to take us where we want to go, when we want to go, how we want to go there. And we don't really care about how it's affecting the other passengers along the way because, hey, you know what? We've hired God for this special mission, and so God's going to serve us. But our relationship with God isn't like a chartered flight in which we set our own course and itinerary. No, we are a part of something bigger. We are meant to travel with those around us. That those that God has called on this journey with us. Therefore, we need to pay all the more attention to the call of God and where God wants us to be and when he wants us to be there. You see, I believe there is a miracle waiting for you in your middle. I don't know what kind of storms you might be facing. I'm not sure what kind of middle moments you've encountered. But I do know this, that Christ has promised never to leave us nor forsake us. And that's a promise we can hold on to. And so the third point is that it's time for us to discover the greatest miracle awaiting us. It's time for us to discover that greatest miracle. The greatest miracle in the middle is the Jesus that it reveals to us. The greatest miracle in the middle is the Jesus that it reveals. We need to constantly remind ourselves that God is on our side. That no matter the hardships we face, no matter what we encounter, that God still cares for his beloved children. And That's what we are. That God is on our side and that God will be with us every step along the journey. That our relationship with Jesus is one that continues to unfold as we journey with him. And the more we journey with Christ, the more of him we will discover and the more of him that will be revealed to us. You see, when the disciples were out in the middle of the storm, the middle introduced them to the walking on water Jesus. Now, okay, we live in Minnesota. We're used to walking on water. It's called ice fishing, right? Well, that's not what's going on here. And they encounter Jesus in a whole new way that they had never experienced before. Likewise, now in Jerusalem, when their rabbi has been crucified, they discover the risen from the dead Jesus. The Jesus who has the power to conquer death. And if Jesus can walk on water, if Jesus can conquer death, and reveal himself in those ways, imagine what he can do in your life. Imagine what he wants to share with you. You see, Jesus will reveal himself to you as a miracle in your middle. Because it's in those middle moments that you will see and begin to experience his power like you've never seen it before on the shoreline. You see, when we are standing on the shore, it's easy for us to say, well, Jesus is our all in all, right? But it's when we are in the middle of the storm, when we feel like we are all alone, lost at sea, or struggling to figure out and make sense of what is going on, that's when Jesus becomes all we have. The greatest miracle in the middle is the Jesus it reveals. So pay attention to the story God is writing. Stay alert for the ways that Jesus is with us, even when we don't recognize him. And finally, discover the greatest miracle. How Jesus wants to reveal himself to you in the midst of those storms. Let us pray. God, we thank you for this word, and we thank you for the fact that on this day we can celebrate the Easter story, knowing that on this day so many years ago you conquered death, that you returned, that you came back from life so that we can have freedom from sin, so that we can experience new life. And so God, we pray for that this morning, that if there's anyone here who has been struggling, if anyone's been feeling like they've been lost at sea, like the waves have battered them around, God, may you give them encouragement and hope, knowing just how much that you love them, that you are willing to send your Son to die, not only to die for our sins, to come back, but to come back to life so that we can experience the power of the resurrection in our lives. So God, we pray that you fill us with this resurrection hope this Easter. And may we go forth from this place sharing that hope and promise with all the world, looking for the ways that you were with us and seeing the miracles all around us. We pray for all this, Lord, in your name.